with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is he. Watches over me while I sleep. Hears me when I pray. I am happy as I can be. Now I can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to be blind. That somebody is Jesus and I know mine. You're happy if you will let Jesus have his way. He has worked for us all. Somebody is Jesus said, I know.
Instruments going to play through this next verse. Turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you today.
Yeah.
to see all of this group here this morning. We've got some new faces with us this morning. We're blessed to have our first-time visitors, and want you to know that we are very thankful that you came to our church this morning. And we gave you a visitor. One of our ushers or one of our men probably gave you a visitor's packet. We want you to know that inside that packet there's a welcome, some welcome notes in there, but there's also a little card. It's a business card. It tells you my phone number, and if you need something, I'd like to hear from you. And fill out the visitor's card, if you will, in that packet, and just kind of gives us an idea of who you are, where you're from, and if you will drop it in the offering plate on your way out, or you can leave it laying in your pew. One of the fellows will pick that up. But we're certainly glad to have you. We're excited to have Brother David Strunk in here all the way from Florida once again. He drove out here again. He's going to be 84 years old in just a few days, and we're always blessed to have him here and speak for us. So let me just tell you right now, so you can start during your scheduling of your week, plan on being here tonight at 6 o'clock, and then Monday night and Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Brother Strunk's going to be right back here with us. It'll be worth your time every time, and we want you to come be a part of that with us, okay? And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and get right back to our good singing. And I will ask Brother Clay Means if you'll lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Amen. Think you may be seated. At this time, the choir has a special. join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for all that you do for us. And God, I pray that for these next 30 minutes or so, that you'd open our hearts and that we'd be receptive to your word. I pray that you'd be with Brother Strunk today. Lord, he's come a long ways. He's been your man for a great number of years. You've used him not only there in Jacksonville, Florida, but God, you've used him in his latter years all across this nation as he has gone and proclaimed your word. And it's our privilege to have him here today. And God, I pray that we'd be receptive to what he has for us. And God, our desire is there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that today that they would come and accept you. And I pray for those that might be here this morning and life has been hard and they're discouraged. God, I pray that you'd encourage their hearts. And I pray that you'd lift them up today. God, we love you. We're sure grateful for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Give me Jesus.
when I am alone, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I come to die, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Jesus, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus.
Why don't you go ahead and be seated, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful, God, to be able to call upon your name. We appreciate your blessings, Lord, on your church, your people. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you, Lord God, for a good Sunday school hour and the teachers that well prepared to bring the word of God. And we know, Father, that if we'll keep your word at the center of our church, Father, that's where the power is, the life-changing power. And we know, Lord Jesus, because of what you've done on the cross, that you've made all of this possible, that you've opened the door for us to be in a relationship with the Father. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the work that you do. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll move amongst us today, Lord God, and deal with hearts and lives. We pray that you'll bless and encourage those that are visiting our church. Help them to feel the Spirit of God and the love of God. Father, if there be anybody here that's hurting, we know, Lord, in a group this size there will be, that you'll bring comfort to them. Father, if there's anybody in the group that does not yet know your Son Jesus, Lord, tap on the door, knock on the door of their hearts. Show them that they're a prayer away from calling upon the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be born again. Lord, just work in their hearts. Father, thank you for Brother Strong. Bless him, Lord. And I pray, Father, that as he speaks not only this morning, Lord, but tonight and the next couple of nights, Lord, that your anointing would be on him, Holy Spirit, in such a powerful way that it's undeniable that we've heard from God. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessings, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this guy doesn't need a lot of introduction other than the fact that we love him and we appreciate him and we respect him to a degree that he'll never understand. And so let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. This is my stabilizer and my weapon. I had a friend, I was getting a little bit stubborn because I'm on medications that make me pretty dizzy. And I needed to carry this. And my friend said, remember the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. So that's when I got it. One of the deacons in the church got this in Okinawa when he was in the military. And it's supposed to be inlaid with pearls here. But I tell you what, it's something, preacher. If I bonk you with this, you have been bonked. So that's what this is, and I just keep it to keep close for when little old spells hit. You know, I'm promise you something, folks. Getting old is exciting. Yeah, it really is. Just about every day I say, honey, look what's growing here. Look what's popped out here. Just about every day I say something like that, and it's exciting. You never know what's coming next. Good to be at the Bible Baptist Church in Slayton, Texas. with Pastor Chris John Wayne Downer. And I just love him so much and his wife. And what a couple they are. They just, you've been blessed with the team here. And then Dwayne and Valerie Williams and all of the extended family and many of them here today, they're family with us. And Valerie, you know, it's just hard to believe that that actually she was in the nursery at Blanding, and we would eat with her family, the Hoblobs, a lot, because back in those lean days, that was very nice for us to have places to visit with the little girls, you know, to eat. And so Valerie, I always have to get this out of the way. So Valerie, I was there, we were there eating one Sunday, and I had a thing about me that I never wanted to take my jacket off, always wanted to keep it on. I had on a black suit. She was sitting in a high chair almost next to me, and she slung mashed potatoes on me. Now, I've never let her hear the end of it. Now, isn't that hard to believe that happened, and I'm still here, and she's still here, and especially since I'm still here. But and the Jenkins, boy, I'll tell you what a team. What I love the music here. Don't ever take your music for granted. It's such an important part of the services. And then I heard Brother Dwayne's end of his lesson today, and what a lesson, boy! I just got a whole lot out of it. Now, I know that I probably read this to you a long time ago, but I'm going to read it again because I can relate to it so good. These are great senior moments. I've sure gotten old. I've had 2 bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, fought prostate cancer and diabetes. I'm half blind, can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine, take 40 different medications that make me dizzy, winded, and subject to blackouts, have poor circulation, hardly feel my hands and feet anymore, can't remember if I'm 85 or 92, have lost all my friends, but thank God I still have my driver's license. There's always something to be thankful for, and I'm excited about being here. And let me tell you something, folks, a lot of pastors won't have meetings now because they say, I just can't get anybody to come. Well, here's the deal. What we need to do is just take what God gives us and have meetings and encourage each other. And we're not here to impress anybody. We're here to do the will of God. And I met several first-time visitors today, and that was encouraging. And visitors, you need to come and hear this pastor because he's a preacher. You know what? We just need more men like him, macho men. And I know that's not the culture today, but it's my culture. I like to be around men who are men, a man's man. Now, would you please turn to John chapter 4? And I want you to listen close because I'm going to test you today. My subject today is simply this. I am he. What's my subject today? I am he. And we're looking at John chapter 4. And because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself, I will begin reading in verse number 1. And open your minds up and your imagination and just picture this tremendous story, true story, from the wonderful Word of God. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that would be noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he which thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What a wonderful story from the wonderful Word of God. We should never grow tired of this beautiful scene. This woman at the well is so typical of all of us. I imagine her somber, living in the rut of a daily routine, nothing to look forward to, five failed marriages. And I want to mention to you that all marriages are happy. It's the living together afterward that causes all the problems. She had five failed marriages, but her life was about to change forever, and a lot of others to whom she would share the good news of the gospel. I believe with all my heart that we will meet her in heaven, and many she led to Christ that day. Won't that be something to beat all of those wonderful Bible characters? Now, often when I'm praying and studying for messages and read a most familiar passage, such as this one, one word or phrase seems to light up that I never preached about before. In this case, it's that phrase in verse number 26, I am he. And the Bible says in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria.
It was out of his way. How many times has Jesus made a point to get in your way? Nobody slips into hell. They have to climb into hell. Samaria was a mixed race, shunned by the Jews, but not by Jesus. Now I'm getting ready to make a statement that I want to really hit home with you in your heart today. There's only one race, and to Jesus, all lives matter. Jesus was wearied and sat down on the edge of the well. No one shall ever be as weary as Jesus was. He carried the sins of the entire world to the cross. He was human and God. He became human because God can't die. He didn't stop being God. That would be impossible. But only God could bear the suffering. He was the God-man. You can't choose one or the other. He cannot be divided. The world will take the man, Jesus. I know a lot of people like that. I even have some, I'm sorry to say, in my family that will take the man, Jesus, but not the God, Jesus. If Jesus was God, and he was, and he is, and forever shall be the great I am, then he is creator, and every man shall give account of himself to God. Now, in verse 7, would you notice again that Jesus asks for a drink? Imagine the one who made the oceans and the rivers and the lakes asking for a drink of water. He did that to open conversation with this lost woman. And Jesus told her of the water when he said, "You will never thirst." You see, religion always leaves man thirsty. Always. I don't like religion. People say, "If you got religion, I've got the Lord," is what I have. Religion would denote formality. Religion would denote those that say, "Let us come into the house of the Lord and be silent, be reverent. Don't get excited in here." No, don't do that. We must reverence the house of God. People fall for that stuff, that formality. They go to the sanctuary. I've never called our church a sanctuary. Sounds too like mortuary. And people think, well, yeah, religion. They think about the formality and the way things are carried out in such a secular way. And I'll tell you what, I believe that it's a joy when we go into the house of the Lord. And this Brother Jenkins, what kind of vitamins do you take? It's I mean, the guy just like the Energizer Bunny. I always know when I see him and hear him, it's going to be exciting. What do you do to do that? You haven't answered me. Jesus told her of this water that she would never thirst, and we know today that Christ alone can and will satisfy forever. So she said, "Sir, give me this water." And he didn't make her drink. He didn't force it on her. You can't force Christ on anybody. We should not try to force Christ on anybody. Before anybody really gets saved, before anybody really comes to the Lord, they've got to understand they're lost without Jesus Christ. And they need fixed. One of my favorite stories I know I've had to told here is about the three guys that were out fishing one day. And an angel appeared and said, "I'm going to do one thing for each one of you guys. Whatever you ask for, I'm going to give you." And so the first one said, "Oh, I want you to help me with my hearing. I just can hardly hear at all." And bling, and he could hear. And the other one said, oh, my back's been killing me. And she went bling, and he was healed. And the angel looked at the other one, and he threw his hand up and said, don't touch me, I'm on disability. Well, you know, there's some people that just don't want fixed, and you can't make them want fixed. Only God can do that. Amen. By the way, the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. We don't force Christ on anybody. We offer him to them, but they must want to drink. And so she said, sir, give me this water. Isn't that precious? Isn't that good? He didn't make her drink. Now, Jesus knew everything about her life and heart. And he pushed pause for a moment to confront her with her sin. Now, the modern gospel skips over sin. The result is a counterfeit salvation. We've got a lot of people in our church that aren't saved because of easy believism. Just believe. You know what the Bible says about that? The devil believes and trembles. Except you repent, the Bible says, you shall all likewise perish. Man says, I don't like that. Well, whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is. Remember, the Bible says you must repent or you will perish. And then she said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You see, she tried to change the subject. Most people do that when confronted with their sin. She brought up worship, and Jesus bluntly said, ye worship what ye do not know what it is. Now, as I prepared this message, I started thinking about people who live on wishes. And for just a couple of hours, I want to give you two or three things concerning that. People that live on wishes. Are you still awake? Say amen. Amen. Number one, somebody says, I wish I knew somebody who really cared about me. Jesus said, I am he. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Brother Jenkins, there is a wonderful song that says, does Jesus care when my heart is pain? Too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know that my Savior cares. Jesus really cares. I wish I knew somebody who cares. If you doubt he cares today, kneel at the cross. What more could he do to prove that he cares? There's another song that I love. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Jesus really cares. Just remember that. When the tough times come, when things are just going in reverse, And that happens to all of us. You know, some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug. You know? In those days when we're the bug, let's remember that Jesus really does care. Yes, he does. And he never fails. I wish I knew somebody who really cared. Are you still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Secondly, I wish I knew somebody who understands me. Jesus said, I am he. We all want somebody to really understand because they've been there. I don't want to read a book about the challenges of growing old by a 21-year-old. And I remind you that when some tragedy happens in the lives of somebody you love or somebody you know, they lose a mate, a husband or a wife, they lose a child, the mother loses a child in birth, there's a horrible car accident, somebody dies. When there's great tragedy, Don't say to people, I understand how you feel if you haven't been there. Because that's an insult to them. Because we don't know. You can have great compassion, and we should as Christians. But there's a difference in compassion and empathizing. Sympathizing and empathizing. You can't really empathize unless you've been there. And in passing by on that subject, always remember that nothing happens by mistake. God's got it. And remember that everything that happens in our life as a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, say amen. That everything that happens in your life as a Christian is by purpose. And Romans 8:28 is in effect even when it happens to us. And all things do work together for good. Not our good, but for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. I was raised in a nightmare of a home. I got saved at 13. One of the best things that happened to me after that, when I left home at 18. Because my home was a nightmare. Dad hated God and the church. He brutalized my mother. I've seen blood flow from my mother's body, from his viciousness. I've seen him coming with a belly full of vodka and a loaded 38. I've seen him walk out the door to go kill my pastor, Bob Fleming, who lived just around the corner from us. It was a living nightmare. I'm a fanatic. I've got to have a fan to sleep. I do. I feel silly in the winter going to hotels with my fan on the cart. But I've got to have a fan because there was so much tension in our home, house, that I could not sleep without a fan on high to cover. And I have to have that now to sleep. Always have. When I was preaching up in the North States when I was younger, up in Michigan and Ohio and Rhode Island and all them places, the preachers would pick me up at the airport and say, is there anything you're going to need? It'd be wintertime and snow. I'd say, I need a fan. And the poor pastor would be at the church rummaging through everything trying to find me a fan because I have to have it. It was terrible. It was horrible. I could write books about it. I could describe what it did to you to my older sister, Pat, who died just a couple of years ago, what it did to her. I wasn't as affected because I
I was a free bird. I could go and do whatever I wanted to, but not her. She was locked in, and she suffered for it her whole life. So I could write a book about that. I've been there. You know what? It made a man out of me when I was really young. Really young. And I'll tell you, it's something else it did. It made it so that when I see them young people walking down them aisles with tears streaming down their cheeks and saying, Pastor, my daddy beat my mother up last night. Well, I could empathize with them because I've been there. Don't ask to be there. Don't ever ask for it. You'll get enough. You know, I've heard Christians pray, and God knows the motive and interprets it, I know. I've heard Christians pray, oh, God, make me or break me. Be careful. Be careful, because you'll get trouble. You'll get plenty of trouble. But the thing about it is, God's not punishing us when these things happen in our life. He's fixing us so we can be more empathetic with people and show them what God can do and help you to overcome. I wish I knew somebody who understands me. We all want to be understood, and we all feel misunderstood. All of us. But Jesus understands. Hey, when you're facing against the wall and you're down and your heart's broke, Jesus really cares. And Jesus really understands. And he wants us to be sympathetic and loving to people. The time before the last when I was here, and you know, somehow the Holy Spirit touches you in it, preacher. When you're in the pulpit, things you hadn't thought of for a while come to you. The time before last when I was in Texas, I had preached here and in the Metroplex and was on my way home. And I stopped at a Love's truck stop and I pulled up in front and I got out to go in. And off to the left was sitting a man who was in, it was cooler weather because I remember he had a heavy coat on and he wasn't begging or asking or anything. He was just sitting there bent over, had a hat on, and was bent over like this, not asking for a thing. And I tried to let the Holy Spirit touch me about whoever I talked to, but I just felt impressed to say something to him. And I slipped up by him. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, I'm David Strunk from Jacksonville, Florida. I'm an evangelist and I preach. And God touched me about you and I want you to know that God loves you. And he just stayed like that. God loves you and I love you. I don't even know you, but I love you in the Lord. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I slipped a $20 bill in his hand. And he just looked up at me. And I said, now look, since I'm praying for you, will you pray for me? And he went, yes. And so I went on in the store and I came out. And I got in the car and I backed out. And I'm very impressionable. I'm very emotional and impressionable. And I came out and I got in the car. And he was still going to, in his hands was like this. And his mouth was moving. And I'll tell you what, I believe he was praying for me. I really do. You see, God wants us to empathize with people and love people. Pastor Tracy took me to Brahms. Oh, that's a sinful place. But he took me to Brahms to get some no sugar added ice cream. So I ate a ton of it. And we were sitting there. And so I went around and took a seat. And he was ordering it. And they had a big line in there. It took a while. And And there was two booths ahead of me facing another booth. And there was a man in that other booth, two booths down. We were just looking right at you. And he was very feeble. He was more feeble than I am, and that's pretty feeble. He was very feeble, but and preacher, he kept taking his glasses off and going like this through his hair. He had long gray hair. And then he put his glasses back on. I could just see he was so troubled. And at one point he tried to stand up, and I know something about that struggle now, but boy, he was really struggling. I was afraid he was going to fall, and he sat back down. And I don't just do these things. You better have God on it when you do it. Don't just do it. But I felt so bad for him. And so I'm not afraid about what responses I'll get. I'm pretty well prepared. A pastor is to handle about anything. But I went up, I decided, I got up, took my cane, and especially when I've sat for a while, I need that for stable life. I got up and took my cane. I went up there to him, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, I'm David Strunk from Jacksonville, Florida. And I said, I see that you're having some of the same distresses that I have. And I want you to know that I'm going to pray for you. What is your name? He said, Mr. McGee. I said, Mr. McGee, I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me. Because God loves you. And he loves me. I didn't pray with him. I didn't give him anything. I just said that to him. And I pat him a couple times. And I went back and sat down. When Pastor Tracy came, when he came and got me, we sat down, then when we got up to leave and walked by these people, his wife had come and sat down. When we walked by, I'd come by and I stopped and I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, I looked at her and I said, you got a good man here and you're taking good care of. And I hesitated, and he said, he had some tears in his eyes. He said, thank you for talking to me. That's all he said. Thank you for talking to me. Oh, listen, isn't God good? And God wants to use us in these simple, wonderful ways to reach out and be a blessing and a help to others. All right, are you still awake? I got to land this plane. Would you put this down there for me, please, Brother Jenkins? I mean, use some of that energy to help somebody. It's what God gave you all that energy for. Ah, I'm good. I'm good. I got my cane. I'm good. Love you guys. I wish I had somebody that wouldn't condemn me. John 3, Jesus said, I've come into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn anybody. Nobody. The woman, can't you see it? At the well. Or the woman that had been taken in the very act of adultery and had that crowd wanting to stone her. We've always got the stoning people. Stay away from them. Because you're next. Stay away from them. They wanted to stone that woman. And Jesus came on the scene. And he said to that woman, go thy way. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. Amen. He came to help us. Some people just don't get it. You know, it's kind of like the It's kind of like the little girl that said to her mother, said, Mama, where did we come from? And the mother said, well, Adam and Eve had babies. And others had babies, babies, and babies, and babies. And then we came along. And then the little girl said, well, I asked Daddy the same question. And he said, we came from monkeys. And she said, he's talking about his side of the family. Some people just don't get it, you know? But you and I get it because God's got it. Stand with your heads bowed, please. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we sing the invitation here at this great church with these wonderful people that we love with all of our heart, and so glad you made it possible for us to come again, I pray that as we sing the invitation today, that if there's anyone in this building that's not saved, they're not born again. Not talking about church membership, baptism, that doesn't save anybody. Talking about being born again. John 3 says you must be born again. And if they've not had that experience of asking you to save them, repenting of sin, that's being sorry that we're sinners. And repenting and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. Doesn't even have to be expressed in any particular way. It's an action of the heart. I pray if there's anybody here today that's not saved, excuse me, that they will slip out quick into the aisle close to them and come and tell this pastor here at the front, I want to be saved. And if they do that, some very kind counselor will pray with them, counsel with them, and help them as they come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And they can walk out of here a brand spanking new child of God, forgiven of all of their sins. May they come today. If there are those visiting and they're looking for a church home, they could not do better than Bible Baptist. For a pastor that has a true pastor's heart and loves his people and is there for them, they just couldn't do it with the right wife. And they just could not. These people are here to see each other through and not through each other. That's the kind of church this is. So let them right now say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just mean it in their heart. God, what should I do? And if you want them in Bible Baptist Church, they're impressed right now in their mind, their heart, their mind. They're thinking, you know, we ought to make this move. We know the last days are here, and we know things are shaping up quick for Armageddon, and we need to be anchored in the church. I pray they'll come and get in the fellowship of the church. And then, Father, for those of us that are saved, as you speak to our hearts, may we come to these old-fashioned places of prayer and just have a talk with Jesus and get some things straightened out and say, God, I want to do it your way and not my way. Lord, I want revival in my heart. I want it in our church. I'm praying for it. I'm asking for it. And I want it to begin in me. May your will be done right now while we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing and you come.
Pass me by.